My guest tonight is Nora Conway, and she is the social prescriber for East Cork. So that's all I'm going to say, Nora. So I'll take it over to you to introduce yourself, And so welcome, to y'all.
Thank you very much, Shane. It's a pleasure to be on the radio. I think this is my first time, actually, to be on the radio, so very excited.
I'm privileged.
Yeah. So I am a social prescriber, as you said. I work in East Cork. I'm based in Middleton. And the word and the term social prescribing, I suppose, is relatively new, even though it may be an old concept in terms of rolling out as an intervention. It's a new concept. I'm working as a social prescriber for the last 2 years in Middleton. I started, I guess, during the COVID tide, and that was pretty, I suppose, an immense kind of project to take on at the time, because the work is very much community based, and it involves taking referrals from the primary care teams, the GPs, the doctors, and they were all closed. So when I started, it was, a new venture, and again, I it was difficult to. I didn't know where really to begin, but you delve down into the community networks, and you look for support, and it involved telling people about what social prescribing was. It's a community-based model of mental health. It's very person-centred. You meet with a person and you discuss, I suppose, what's going on for them, what's happening in their world. Usually, and because obviously we were living during and with COVID, a lot of people who came to me were speaking about their sense of loneliness, isolation, maybe a level of anxiety that had they had experienced as a result of COVID. And then I suppose we were looking at kind of pathways out to support them on their journey to mental health and well-being.
So basically, it must have been, I suppose, when you started, because of the timing it started, it kind of gave you a little bit of a sense that you wouldn't normally have ground yourself into the community so easily, because there was no one being referred into you probably at the start. Like, you know, it was just really like about finding your feet. And I suppose what I find interesting about your role is that it is a brand new role. Like, you know what I mean? The HSE have never done anything like this before. Like, you know, so it's kind of groundbreaking, really, isn't it?
Yeah, it's revolutionary, really. I mean, the whole idea of social prescribing is the concept. They're following a model from the NHS, which started in Bromley on Bow in the 1990s, and that model works. There are resources and evidence out there to show that social prescribing works. So I guess the HSE are following on from that model within the Cork region. We have 10 at the Kerry Cork region. We have 10 social prescribers, and there's probably about 120 social prescribers dotted all over Ireland right now, and it is growing. But most of the social prescribers started in 2019. The service again is, I suppose, it was. I'm going to say maybe farmed out to partnership groups or family resource centres. And it really meant that we had to look at what local groups and organisations were there who we could link into the community. And to maybe go back on it, the key word into social prescribing is linking. We are the mediators between kind of the GPs and the primary care teams and then what is happening out in the community. So when a person comes in to us, they talk to us, I guess, about their kind of situation, you know, and it can be, obviously there could be death, or there could be financial issues, there could be, as I said, loneliness, anxiety.
Isolation,
it could be somebody who is looking, who's just moved to a new location and they want to get more involved within their community. So we take a very much a holistic view of the person, and the idea that it's non-medical, it's very community-based. And then we work together to cook, I suppose, co-produce a care plan for the person. And then we follow that person through the their social prescribing journey. Mm. We link them in to, again, it could be a yoga group, it could be an active retirement group, it could be a walking group, it could be a book club in the library, it could be many of them or all of them together. And then I suppose once they're kind of linked in, there's the checkups, there's the follow-ins, and we review the session as we started, just to see how that social prescribing journey was. And generally, there has been, I mean, the feedback that I get from my clients is that social prescribing has changed their sense of self, and that there is a massive improvement. Sometimes they lack confidence, they don't know where to go. You know, the services exist, but somehow there's a breakdown along the line, and I suppose that's how I come in.
Yeah, and you cover East Cork.
I cover all of East Cork,
and so you're one on one. So it must, like, I mean, realistically speaking, you know, you're only getting, you know, three or four done a day, and if you're lucky, you know, and you've admin and stuff like to do it. It's a large area to cover, isn't it?
It is.
I mean, I suppose since the pandemic, I suppose there has been more and more people who are isolated, who are cut off from community, and are struggling to connect back into community. So your workload must be fairly large, I would imagine.
It is, and growing. And I suppose, look, as I was talking about earlier, like the very first couple of months, I was only working part-time in the job. And it took me a good 6 months to kind of understand the whole social prescribing world. I mean, I have a background in psychology, but when you're working in on the local level and to kind of, I suppose, build the intervention up from scratch, it involved really, I suppose, understanding each of the different communities. So, as I said, I cover Yall, Killa, Middleton. I'm taking referrals in from Cove and Carrigtwohill as well. There is only one of me, and maybe that's something that, you know, could be looked at, that there could be, you know, growth within the service. So every day I'm kind of on the move, but I strategically map my moves. So, you know, if there's three or four clients in Yall that I can see, then I will spend, you know, a day in Yall. If there's three or four in Carrigtwohill or Cove, I'll equally do the same. But the referral pathways have grown, and that was down to, I suppose, the sheer networking that I would have done. I thought it was really important to put social prescribing on the map in East Cork. So I had a launch in Castlemartyr in September of last year, and that was, I suppose, the first opportunity where the primary care teams, the doctors, I had a fantastic doctor, Dermot Mulcahy, who championed social prescribing for me, and he bought, I suppose, there was buy-in then once the local doctors, and that's where the referral pathways started to increase. So right now, I mean, on any given day I could be meeting three to four clients, but as you said, it's then the days to do the administration, to do the kind of promotion of it as well.
But I mean, when I think about it, like, I mean, how long will a client actually stay with you?
So that varies, all depending on the client's kind of needs. Sometimes there's that holding that we do with the clients, because there aren't services out there where, you know, obviously every person that we meet is individual and they have their own idea of what they would like to support their well-being. And, you know, if it's an art group, for instance, maybe the art group doesn't exist. So you either have to wait for something to come along, or, you know, we do receive a small pocket of funding from the HSE, and therefore we can facilitate running of certain kind of workshops. But then depending on the client, there may actually be nothing within their locale. A big thing that I find is lack of transport. There are people out there who are socially isolated, who want to engage in the services, and they have no way of coming into the service. So for me, that's really disappointing. I'd love to work within local community groups to try and establish a local.
And I must admit, one thing about Yall, and I noticed in the Cancer Support Centre, is there's an awful lot of people that don't drive. You know, and people who are very isolated out in the country and they don't drive. And that, you know, it must be frustrating, like, you know, that, you know, you get out to them, you say, and they go, oh, they might be even enthusiastic and say, oh, I'd love to do this and I'd love to do that, but I can't get there, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so it must be another frustration, yeah.
Yeah, and it is disappointing, I suppose, in a way, when there's always that semblance of hope, when maybe there's a public health nurse who mentions about social prescribing and they talk about our work. But if the person doesn't have transport, I don't have, you know, a magic wand. Yeah. So I can't actually say we will go and collect them and bring them in. I know that link buses do exist and that works for some, but not when you're rurally isolated.
Yeah, they're not going to drive all the ways out for one person.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
So that's something I suppose I'd like to think that maybe we could have a bit more joined up thinking and come up as a community. Mm. And I'd love to see it in, you know, every town or village to have their own transport system to support people coming
in. But I mean, when you think of it, when you go to some of the foreign countries and stuff like that, Spain and places like that, they have their buses that even go out into the middle of nowhere, you know, and you know, small buses and stuff like that. So it does operate in other countries anyhow. It's just, and I suppose the local link and all that is still a relatively new, like, you know, system. But again, it's all voluntary. It's all fundraising and everything like that. Like, so it's not money coming directly from the government, you know?
Yeah. And look, just going back to your question, sometimes we can go, you know, sideways and segues. When I see, I suppose, a new client, you know, there is, I suppose, kind of a defined period that we would stay with the person and could, you know, we work with them for anything minimum of kind of 6 weeks. And then for some people, as I said, you know, there might be a little bit of containing until something starts up. But then you may be seeing somebody for a little bit longer, you know, it's I suppose, down to the individual person and their kind of needs.
But it adds to your workload again, you know what I mean? You know, you can only see so many people, like, you know.
Yeah.
So that just adds to your workload again. Like, if you're seeing a client for 6 weeks and you have a full book, you know, it means that you mightn't get to somebody else again for a good few number of weeks, like, you know.
It does take a lot of planning. But thankfully right now, I mean, I'm able to manage my caseload. But as the referrals kind of come in and people get to know and understand what social prescribing is, I can see it getting busier, for sure.
And I suppose as this is a mental health program, what are you seeing out there? You know, what are the biggest things that people are challenged with mental health, do you think?
I think loneliness, social isolation, and anxiety. They're probably the three key. And I suppose it's maybe at the backdrop of COVID. I think that's why they're kind of the three of the most pressing issues. But
and can you refer anything on with as far as mental health is concerned? You know, you do the social prescribing, which is linking in with the different social networks. But then there's the mental health side of it as well.
So, yeah, look, I would signpost people to different therapeutic services. So we're very fortunate that within the East Cork area, there are some counselling, you know, counsellors. I'm really lucky that, like, I have a good relationship with with, you know, the key stakeholders, the counsellors, psychotherapists. There are, you know, different healing groups that we link people into, meditation, mindfulness, Tai Chi classes, Zumba is working really well for some people right now. But yeah, so it's a myriad of different things that I work with. But
so, I mean, is it all in your head, or do you actually go in with a book when you're actually meeting people?
It comes from the heart.
I can see that about you. And would you go to people's houses, or do you encourage people to come to you?
I will always leave that up to the person,
okay.
You know, what they would like, because I think that first conversation is really important. I think that's the, you know, particularly if somebody is socially anxious. Walking through any door can be really, really difficult. So it depends. For some people, they actually like to come and visit where you are. Maybe it gives it a sense of more legitimacy. For others, you know, they really welcome you coming to the house. And I think that's really important, that first conversation, so where you can build that sense of trust. So it's a mix. I suppose particularly maybe just after COVID, it was probably meeting people in their own space. But now people are kind of want to venture out.
They want to.
And I mean, Shane, you know, I suppose we were very fortunate as well. We had worked with you doing a creative stress reduction program, and that worked fantastically for the older people. They absolutely loved having your sessions. And it's something that I suppose that we would hopefully look at again.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
But it was fabulous, you know, for the older people who were suffering from a little bit of socialisation, isolation, they lacked confidence, self-belief in themselves. So doing simple tailored programmes where they're focusing on simple topics like self-esteem, looking at resiliency, boundaries. It was fantastic, and there was the creative element as well, so that's beautiful, being able to harness all of that together.
So it's as well as that, like, I mean, as I have experienced it, you know, it's pulling together different workshops and stuff like that, like, you know, in the different resort, and we're great in Yall, like, I mean, I must admit, you know, that there's so many different workshops and stuff like that to get people involved. And I suppose since COVID, people have a bit of an appetite for going to a physical workshops and stuff like that, like, because they know how isolated they are, and it does take a bit of, you know, a bit of courage from somebody to actually step out, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, there must be people that you must meet who, even though you, it sounds fantastic that all these fantastic things you're talking about, but they can't actually do it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things, I suppose, when we work with the people, there's an element of wanting to change and knowing that it will benefit them, but there's still the fear of doing it.
Of doing it, yeah. In theory, in their head, it sounds good, but actually physically doing it. And especially, I'm thinking of social anxiety, people who are trapped in their house, you know, and can't get out, like, you know.
Yeah.
And but it's trying to help them to take that step, first step. So you as a person, you must have to juggle so much in your head, like, you know, mentally, you're there for them mentally, and then you're trying to coax them out and stuff like that. It must be, you know, it's rewarding, like, but it must be hard sometimes, like, you know.
Well, I suppose the way I always see it, you know, it's important when I'm talking to my clients, my service users, about the importance of nourishing themselves and filling their cup with things that are important to them. And I think if people think of that, you know what I mean? It's always nice to have a concept or an abstract concept to kind of have a look at and see, okay, well, you know, and we all think of the cup and filling the cup. And I suppose that's sometimes, you know, even a starting conversation, how important it is, you know, to do that. And, you know, people can, it's like, I suppose, maybe take that home like a little seed for themselves. What it is, what would they like to put into it? What can they put into it? And then we might explore, like, the reasons why you would do it, you know, what are the benefits, and then what are the benefits of not doing it, you know, and sometimes, you know, the benefits of doing something outweighs not doing it, and, you know, and that's what we kind of look at. There's the conversations really are about them, what they would like to change, what they would benefit, you know, from and I suppose, look, social engagement is really, really important. The lack of social engagement, you know, has been defined by the World Health Organization as to the equivalency of smoking 15 or 16 cigarettes a day. So if you think look at it like that, it's really important to be socially connected. Motivation and encouragement and a little bit of hand-holding, that's what I do as well, you know. If a person is a little bit anxious about going to an event for the first time, I can attend with them, and even for the second time, and I think with that little bit of hand-holding, it definitely supports the person, and then they're more likely to engage in it.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's an absolutely fantastic service to have that, where you are going out and you are meeting them one-on-one and meeting them either in their home or they're coming to you. Like, I mean, you know, hats off to the HSE for actually getting something right. But, you know, you know, so if some people are being referred, it's usually referrals to people have to be, you have to, how does somebody get, you know, to talk to you? You know, if there's someone listening to radio at the moment and either they're struggling or they know someone that's struggling, how do they normally go about getting referrals into you?
A person can self-refer in.
Okay.
A family member can, you know, refer somebody in to me, and then it can come through the GP, the public health nurse, the primary care teams. Obviously, I have contact details, and I have a website and an address that people can follow, and I'm happy to share that with you.
Do you want to share that on the radio where exactly so, they can find you?
Yeah, so it's Nora Conway, social prescriber. My phone number is 085-8625-320. So that's 085-8625-320. And my email address is linkworker@middletonfrc.com. So that's linkworker@middletonfrc.com. And you'll find us under Middleton and East Cork Social Prescribing Facebook page.
Wow, sounds like a fantastic service, you know what I mean? I'm looking forward to you going on from strength to strength, you know, and, you know, I mean, to have this type of sort of a facility here in East Cork is absolutely fantastic. So thank you very much, Nora.
Thank you.